Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
So you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder how patient is God? Well, my friend, he must be incredibly patient with this age because we are living in the age of idiocy and stupidity, from COVID rules to the hypocrisy in Washington that cannot even come out and condemn what's going on in Cuba because they know that the people in Cuba are basically rebelling against a communist dictatorship, and the people that want to open wide our borders because people are being persecuted in other countries. That's what they always say. They won't let the people from Cuba come into our country. They're not opening the borders from them because they know they would vote Republican and not Democrat. And now here's a man who's above politics and an exemption from the age of stupidity. Say hello to Jim Barrier.
Oh, I don't know how far above I am in any of that, but I do have opinions, as do you, my good friend. So,
well, the bar is not too high, so you must be way above it.
Well, I've noticed something in the media recently, and again, it happened again very recently, but it has become obvious to me that President Biden doesn't get brain freeze from eating ice cream. Draw your own conclusions.
You go. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Just have to say it. I mean, that's what he, basically, that's the only thing they'll show him eating ice cream, you know. And so he's immune to brain freeze. I want to lead off with a story. Now, I know sometimes you don't like, you know, my anecdotes, but this is one.
Whoa. Now, wait, when did you once hear me say I don't like your anecdotes? Quote the time,
okay.
Quote the show.
Well, let's try this one. Okay. An American woman. Remember that song by Guess Who? American Woman?
Yeah.
She was visiting Havana, and she asked her tour guide, what is the national pastime? And he said, bullfighting. And she said, isn't it revolting? And he said, no, that's second.
Now, I did hear that. I did hear that on, I know where I heard that. You did that on Crosstalk last week. Okay.
Oh, did I use it already?
Crosstalk with Ryan Holland. You've already used that on the air this week.
I've been using that one since middle school.
That's what you're remembering. Not that I don't like your anecdotes, but I'm pointing out when I'm hearing the same anecdote. That's probably what you were referring
to. I need to come up with some new material.
New material,
well,
yeah.
That was funny, though.
This. That is a good line.
It's a good one, but it's been relevant since the 60s, which is when this trouble really came to a head. So let's talk about Cuba, where revolution is the norm. Now, I'm just going to take a few minutes, but I'm going to give a little history for our listeners. In 1899, after the Spanish-American War, Cuba became a protectorate of the United States and then gained independence from the U.S. in 1902 as the Republic of Cuba. Following disputed elections, in 1906, their first president was Tomás Estrada Palma, who was immediately overthrown, and the U.S. intervened again by occupying Cuba until 1908, when José Miguel Gómez was elected president. Gerardo Machado was elected in 1924. So they went through a few presidents. Machado was elected in 1924, and then the Wall Street crash in this country in 1929 led to Cuba's economic collapse. And so strikes and violence erupted, forcing Machado into exile. He went over to the Dominican Republic, I believe, in 1933. He was replaced by Cespedes, who was replaced by San Martin, who was overthrown by Batista. In 1959, guerrilla fighters led by Fidel Castro and Che Guevara overthrew Batista in what became known as the Cuban Revolution, and they executed some 600 people who were linked to the former president. Castro formed an alliance with the Soviet Union, and that closed a lot of American business in the process. In 1961, Castro officially announced that his government was socialist, a very popular thing these days. JFK proclaimed an embargo in February of 1962, and then when missiles were discovered on that island by the famous U-2 plane, The Cuban Missile Crisis, we refer to it, was in October of 1962, and Kennedy quarantined the island. We call it the blockade, but they had to use the term quarantine. And that's when things really came to a head between our country and their country. The Russians backed down. Can you imagine, Bob, can you imagine any president of either party today doing something so bold?
Well, I can imagine Donald Trump doing it, but they got rid of him.
Yeah, well, Kennedy got away with it. I say that in that it was a very risky thing. It was a very bold thing. It was a necessary thing. The Communist Party of Cuba was created in 1965. They admitted that they were not just socialist, but they were now communist.
So they were there, you know, for a long time, but yeah, they were just admitting that they were communist.
Yeah, they came out. They came out of the closet as communist. Okay, so
they came out of the commie. Yeah, there we go.
So that's a little history about how Cuba came to be what it is today. Now, Alexandria Ocasio Cortez, one of my favorites, blames the U.S.
Wait. You should use her real name, Alexandria Ocasio Cortez. Let's say it properly.
Okay, that's even better. But she is blaming that embargo that happened in 1962 for the current unrest in Cuba. Really?
Oh, I thought she would just blame it on Donald Trump. People blame Trump every time they get a flat tire.
Why not just blame Trump
that the communists overthrew Cuba?
Yeah, yes, usually you blame Trump or COVID, but she blames the embargo that happened in 1962, and it took them this long for the people of Cuba to protest in the street. The poor, poor woman. She probably doesn't get brain freeze either.
On the day they were handing out brains, she was out for pizza, at least the pizza that didn't have any meat on it and contribute to global warming.
Yeah. Now, of course, the current president of Cuba, Miguel Díaz-Canel, blames the United States and COVID for the current problems.
They're going to squeeze every ounce they can out of COVID. COVID is the gift that keeps on giving to the liberals.
Yeah. And because this thing just recently started, they can't really blame Trump because Biden's been in office for 6 months.
Yeah.
And the truth is Trump was stripped of any power a year before he lost the election. So they can't blame Trump, so they blame COVID, because that's an easy scapegoat right now. Everything is COVID's fault.
Oh, yeah. You get bad service in a restaurant. Oh, it's because of COVID. You get bad service in a hospital.
Yeah, COVID. Everything.
COVID. You know, COVID. Couldn't be our lousy service. It's just COVID.
Is anybody else tired of that being?
I am just so sick and tired of it, Jim. And, you know, we finally opened up in California, and now Los Angeles is closing up again and doing the mask mandate.
Yeah, I just read that.
And I know a lot of optimistic people in San Diego said, oh, well, that won't happen here. I think it'll happen here. And I'm just so sick and tired.
I'm even concerned about it happening in Texas, though. Our government here in Texas, the governor, lieutenant governor, and the attorney general of Texas are all pretty solid, and they're almost as conservative as the governor of Florida.
Let me ask you something. If Abbott is so conservative, how come Alan West is going to try to primary him out in the next election?
I don't know, because he doesn't understand what it takes to win. Think about it. Over the years, so many people have ran for president in the primaries. I mean, in the last couple of elections, you see, a couple of dozen people in one party or the other fighting it out. And most of them have to know they don't have a chance of winning. And which, of course, now we've all, here goes rabbit trail number one, folks.
Well, I do like Alan West. I have always liked Alan West. Yeah. So I was kind of interested in that news.
But I've always voted for the person that has the best chance of winning, that is closest to the center of my core political beliefs. That's kind of how I have to do it. Now, that's why I haven't ever voted for an independent for the office of president. There have been some that I've liked, but they don't have a chance of beating the two-party system. And anymore, it's getting harder and harder. There's a few holdouts, but there's so many rhinos out there, it's getting harder and harder to tell the difference between the two parties. Now, in the Democrat Party, they actually have a two-party system within their party. They've got the progressives, and they've got other people that are trying to hold the line, but they're failing. At any rate, it's a mess. It's a mess. And I kind of like DeSantis. We'll see what happens with him. And of course, he said we're standing in solidarity with the people of Cuba. There's a lot of Cubans in Florida. I've been down there. And the ones that have come across the water have come because they don't like the socialist communist regime that's in Cuba. And they generally wind up voting conservative when they get up here because they've seen what it does to a country if you go socialist.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Florida governor is standing in solidarity. I don't know what that means, but I think he's backing the freedom fighters and the people that are protesting the despot. Now, Biden also said he stands with the people of Cuba, but I don't think he understands what that means. I think he just
I think he thinks a Cuban is a cigar. I don't think it's ever been explained that it's an actual
I suppose.
Country.
Well, he heard they have good ice cream in Cuba.
Yeah.
And so that, but.
Or he's confusing it with the word cute, and it's something he wants to come up behind and sniff, maybe that.
And so now I'm curious, is with all this border stuff, and they want to open borders, they want to let everybody in, why don't we start with letting the Cubans who want to flee?
Exactly. What about the people that really are fleeing for their lives? Most of the people that come to America are not fleeing for their lives. They want better opportunity, and I can't blame them.
Yeah.
By the way, if we're really such a racist, systemically horrible country, as the leftists keep telling us, then why are they pushing to have so many more people come here? Who would want to come to a horrible country like this? Just about everybody in the world, it seems. You know, they don't expect anybody to put two and two together or connect any dots or give this any actual verified thought.
And when you opened, your opening remarks kind of alluded to the fact that the level of thinking and intelligence and logic is very discouraging right now for me. I don't know how people can read the news, even as twisted as it can be, how they can look at these stories and go along with the program. I just don't get it. But that's a little bit, that's my synopsis of the Cuban situation. Now, I have said this, and I've said it before on Crosstalk and other things, but my solution for decades has been, look, we'll lift the embargo and we'll have free trade. You can come and buy our appliances. All we want is your Cuban cigars, your Cuban baseball players, and all those antique automobiles. And we'll call it square.
All right. On that note, we'll go on hold, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined by my friend, Jim Barrier.
You know, I was listening to that ad about Wisdom Works Christian Preschool. And we have a number of good Christian schools in the city I reside in, San Antonio here. And it just, I hadn't thought of this, so this is an improv, and I want to ask you, what's going to happen with private schools, Christian schools, and the critical race theory thing being jammed down our throats? Are they going to try to find a way to force private schools?
Oh, of course they will. When the left talks about separation between church and state, they mean that we're not allowed to have an opinion in the public arena. They don't mean that they can't come and interfere with what we're doing as a church. I've already heard people on TV, and I've heard this for years, even before the phrase critical race theory became popular, and there they were talking more about the LGBTQ agenda, that they want to get rid of homeschooling, they want to get rid of private schools,
right.
And they finally admitted that it's because the indoctrination would not be there.
Yeah, and personally, and I think you're probably on the same page as me, but the critical race theory may be the most hypocritical thing the left has come up with ever. It is racist.
It's a great big lie. Larry Elders put it perfectly. He said reparations, payment by people who never owned slaves to people who never were slaves.
Yeah, and all of that stuff, I'm not only tired of it, and it seems ludicrous, but it's also frightening that so many people are buying into that stuff. Now, let's talk about that. We're going to skip ahead here. I wasn't planning on talking about this immediately, but since we're on that one, there's a woman named Michelle Leet. She's the vice president of training for the PTA in Virginia. She's also happens to be the vice president of NAACP.
Hmm.
And she said this about those who do not support critical race theory. You ready for this? Listen to what she said. This is a quote. Let's deny this off-key band of people that are anti-education, anti-teacher, anti-equity, anti-history, anti-racial, anti-opportunity, anti-health people, anti-diversity, anti-science, anti-change agent, anti-social justice, anti-healthcare, anti-worker, anti-LGBTQ, anti-children, anti-healthcare, anti-worker, anti-environment, anti-admissions policy change, anti-inclusion. Now, this is the best part. An anti-live and let live.
Live and let live. Yeah.
Let them die.
They don't believe in diversity of thought, and their inclusion certainly doesn't include my viewpoint. And basically, I'm just anti-stupidity. That's all. Just call me somebody who's anti-stupidity.
Well, it just amazed me that she threw all of that stuff in there at people who are not sold on the critical race theory. And so those people are anti-healthcare.
Yeah.
And they're anti-children.
And we're the ones who can't live and let live.
Anti-environment.
Yeah.
You know, she just threw the whole thing in there.
Yeah, we're going to go in and tell a little kindergartner that they should feel horrible about their white privilege. And these are the people running our country right now, Jim. These are the people running our country.
That's what's frightening. That's what's frightening. So we must have hit the slippery slope a long time ago. But her message of inclusion is let them die. If they don't agree with us, let them die. So we can be anti those people. I don't know.
We are living under a poisonous tyranny right now, a poisonous tyranny.
And so that'll bring me to my next subject, if you're ready. Oh, man, a lot of stuff going on here, Bob.
Yeah, what's the next in the name of inclusion? I just can't wait. What's the next tolerant thing the left is doing?
Well, here's a good example. The White House announced their efforts with Facebook to take aggressive action on problematic social media posts. The administration said they would work to flag and censor anything they deemed to be disinformation. You have to read the fine print there. Anything they deem to be misinformation.
Yeah, that means anything that disagrees with them and Democratic talking points, of course.
Yeah, and that just scare people. Now, disinformation, by the way, okay, here's Joe Biden. He says, they're killing people. The only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated. They're killing people.
And let me say something about this vaccine. When Trump was still in office, and whatever you think about the vaccine, you may think it was developed too quickly, you may think it needs more testing, but it was developed under Trump, Biden, and the Democrats were swearing that they would not take it.
Yeah.
The minute they got Trump out of there, Biden acts like it was under his administration that they came up with the vaccine, and now they want to push laws forcing us to take it. If Trump were still president, nobody would be taking it. It just boils my oil.
Yeah, and there is. It's just such an incredible hypocrisy that goes on there. But, you know, he says he uses the term disinformation. Well, I'm thinking Joe would know. He's the master of disinformation.
Yeah, he lies through his teeth pathologically.
So now I'm going to try to be serious here, but I'm really concerned about an administration that has no problem censoring anyone who disagrees with them. I'm concerned about the government threatening to go door to door to enforce citizens to take a drug that isn't approved by the FDA and doesn't seem to do as much good as they would like us to think. I'm concerned about required documentation to attend events or enter businesses or to travel. I'm concerned about those kind of things. I feel that it's government overreach. If you want to get the vaccination, get it. If you want to wear a mask, wear it. But I'm greatly concerned that the government, the overreach that's going on here, there haven't been any ballot measures for the citizens to vote on. It's arbitrary rulemaking, absolutism done on the behalf of the people in power. And this really, really disturbs me. And maybe they mean well. Maybe they want people to be healthy. Maybe they do want to stop COVID. Who wouldn't? But I'm just concerned.
Oh, I don't think they want to stop COVID, Jim. I think they love COVID because the longer COVID's here, the more they can stay in control. I don't think don't think they want to stop it at all.
Well, that's why there's a new strain.
Yeah, there'll always be a new strain, and we should wear a mask even if we've been vaccinated. It'll go on. People ask me all the time if this is like the mark of the beast, because with the mark of the beast, there was this number where you couldn't buy or sell. And my answer is no, it's not the mark of the beast, because the mark of the beast will be something that people wear saying that they believe a certain man, a certain dictator is God.
Yeah.
And we are not at that point. However, in the spiritual realm, who knows what's going on there right now? This could be a dress rehearsal for the Mark of the Beast, because when you talk about the buying and the selling that you can't do unless you're going to show this card or this fact, it's not unlike it. So I will at least say that.
Yeah, it's a conditioning. And yeah, I've had people say, well, you know, they're putting a chip in you when they give you the vaccine, they're injecting a chip. I don't know that there's any evidence of that.
No, probably not. But just the idea that you're not going to be admitted places without proof of the vaccine, that is so much like the mark. No, it's not the mark of the beast. Okay, everybody, so relax for another 5 minutes or so. But it could be a dress rehearsal for the mark of the beast.
I agree with that. And you and I have both talked, you know, you can't take Revelation and try to figure it out and interpret all that stuff. It's just, you know, John couldn't tell you what he saw. So he put it in words, you know, he wrote down what he saw, but he couldn't describe most of the stuff he was seeing, because a lot of those things probably didn't exist for hundreds and hundreds of years. So I don't buy into that stuff. I've been a Christian for 53 years, and that entire time I've heard people trying to interpret the book of Revelation and Daniel and the prophecies and make predictions, and they set dates and they name names, and I'm just leery of that sort of thing. But I do agree with you that the spirit behind the thing is a warm-up exercise, if you will. And it seems like an awful lot of people are just laying down for the program. So I'm concerned about that type of stuff going on with the government and just arbitrarily making laws and people falling in line and said, okay, whatever you say, we'll do it. And again, I'll just put another plug in. If you've never read the book Animal Farm by George Orwell, just go find a copy at the library or order it online. It's an interesting fairy tale. He said it was a fairy tale.
Well, we're living that fairy tale, and we're living Orwell's 1984 right now, too.
Yeah.
It's all here. Yeah. The historical revision, the Big Brother, the changing the way we talk, everything.
Newspeak.
Newspeak. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. it's pretty scary stuff, because I grew up reading all those things, and now I feel like I'm watching it happen. And in fact, Cuba, go back to that again, that very easily could have been a description of Cuba, the story in Animal Farm, even though he wrote it before all of those things took place that I was explaining. Well,
with one difference, those animals on the farm never had quite so fine a cigar. Okay, hold with me, Jim, over the next break. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a 6-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I want to go back because, you know, sometimes when we have the commercial breaks, the commercial breaks give us sometimes an opportunity to think about what we just said. And that's always a danger for radio people and preachers alike. We don't always get to think about what we just said until it's too late. I just want to clarify for listeners. I think the book of Revelation is very valuable. But I think John was on the island of Patmos in exile, and the angel said, write down what you see. So he did. I think it's good to study the prophets and all of those things. What I think is dangerous is trying to read into something and predict who the Antichrist is or when the date is or when Jesus will come back. Jesus told his followers, you don't know, you don't need to know, I don't even know. So that's, I just wanted to qualify that. There's a lot of value in those books, and they need to be studied. And here's what Jesus said about prophecy, by the way. He said, when you see the leaves starting to shoot forth, then you know the season is changing. When you see the skies changing colors, you know what the weather will be. So the point is, when you see something happen and it rings a bell, it triggers something, you go, wait a minute, and I read about that, then recognize it when it happens. But don't try to figure out in advance what's going to happen. I don't think that's the purpose of prophecy.
Yeah, and the other side of it, I'm actually teaching Revelation right now in Sunday school.
I know.
We just started it. And the other side of that, and what I'm emphasizing, is that a good deal of it had to do with what was going on in the end of the first century. The Christians were already going through a time of persecution, and a lot of that was to comfort them. It did include a peek behind the curtain that the day of the Lord is coming, the return of Christ is at hand. But we were not meant to read Revelation in one hand and the newspaper in the other hand and try to make a bunch of predictions. Yeah.
And I know you've probably covered this in your class. There were seven churches from those seven cities that are mentioned.
Those were all real churches. Those were all, including the church of Ephesus, which we have another epistle to in the New Testament.
Right. So just wanted to clarify that, because sometimes I'll make a statement and then somebody will think, oh, he doesn't believe in the book of Revelation or whatever. Well, I believe the entire Bible, and I'm becoming quite a minority as far as ordained ministers go. That I still embrace the scriptures and believe they're authoritative and accurate. I think you have to do your homework. And I think sometimes you've got to look at the difference between language 600 years ago, or for that matter, the original intent of the writers and the Bibles that we have. I'm sure Bob covers this. The Old Testament is largely in Hebrew, and the New Testament Aramaic, and then transferred to Greek, and then it was Latin. And so by the time it gets to those things, you may need a little bit of clarification. But the message in there, the truths, the doctrines we've built our lives on as Christians, those things have not faltered or failed or changed at all. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God's means for salvation. You know what I think we could talk about next week, Bob? Why don't we do a little homework? Let's talk about the claims of Jesus Christ.
Okay, that sounds good.
Let's do that next week. For next week's show, we'll talk about who Jesus said he is, for the things he said he would do and all of that. That'd be a fun show.
Yeah, and actually, some of the words of Jesus in the Gospels and Paul in the Epistles say much clearer things about the second coming of Christ than Revelation does. Revelation, you get the feeling that John was on mushrooms or something when he wrote it. But Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, they give us some very clear things to watch for. They still warn us that nobody knows the day or the hour, but they do give us some clear things to watch for.
Good, let's do that. We'll talk about who Jesus said, and then what the scripture, what Jesus and Paul and others talked about, things that we should look for. That'll be a good
Now, I want to, speaking of clarification, did I hear you say that the New Testament was originally written in Aramaic and then Greek? Because I know Matthew was originally written in Hebrew and then Greek, but the rest of it was all written in Greek. And did I hear you wrong? Or
no, I think that was the language that was spoken.
One of the languages spoken was Aramaic. Yeah. But they were written in Greek because Greek was the language of the court and the marketplace.
Yeah. And for people who could read and write, wasn't necessarily assumed. Yeah, yes. I have sitting right here, I have a parallel New Testament, and it's the English version right next to the Greek. And so you can go through there and look at I just wanted to clarify because I've had
debates with the Hebrew Roots movement. They claim the entire New Testament was originally written in Hebrew, and if it had been, that would have been fine. The Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, but that's simply not true of the New Testament, with the exception, again, of the Gospel of Matthew. There was originally a Hebrew version of that. Anyway, I guess that's a sidebar, but I just wanted to clarify
we need to clarify.
And it sounds like we're on the same page, but you're absolutely right. Aramaic was one of the spoken languages in those days. That is true.
As if you know, I use a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance all the time when I'm doing studies, and the Old Testament is Hebrew and the New Testament is Greek. And you can look up those words, because sometimes you'll hear a preacher say, well, no, in the original Greek it says, but you can actually learn that stuff. And you can do your own research, get a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance and maybe a couple of good lexicons, and you can look up the original meaning of those words. And for the most part, those things, it's really just a matter of the changes in language. I mean, people use terms in the 50s that people today don't recognize unless we're old enough to have been around then. And so sometimes there are linguistic things that they might sound a little funny, but the meaning, the intent, the message that's in there, that hasn't changed. And I know we both agree on those things. So let's do that. This week, let's talk about the claims of Christ, and we'll talk about other books besides Revelation in the New Testament that speak to future events. That should be an interesting
show. Yeah, that will be very interesting.
Don't miss it, folks. Okay, good. Well, now we're set for next week. Now, what time do we have left? We've only got about 15 minutes left.
Yeah, we got a little bit of time left.
20 minutes? Okay. I'm on Texas time. Actually,
I didn't say 20. I said a little bit. Maybe that sounded like 20.
A little bit. Okay. Well, I don't know. Yeah.
Brendan was asking me, is Matthew McConaughey also running for governor in Texas? Or is he running for...
He has not officially said that. He's been throwing out some teases.
What kinds of platforms has he had? Is he liberal pretty much? Or
He's going to take some of those stands because his fan base would expect that. But actually, he's fairly conservative on some things. I don't know if he's ever come right out and called himself a Christian, but he would call himself a person of faith. But I have seen some stuff. I'm favorably impressed with him compared to most of the Hollywood types.
Well, I'd like to see what he stands for. I know a lot of people will just vote for him because he's an actor.
I would like to see where he would be on platforms and issues and those things, just because he's an intriguing person. He's an interesting person. He's very popular in this state. And so I will be curious.
Is he from Texas originally? Is that where he hails from?
Yeah, he's a Texan.
I know he has kind of a southern drawl accent, but I never was sure.
Yeah, yeah. And he's a big Longhorn supporter, University of Texas Longhorns. He's a big fan of that school, which is in the city of Austin, where the capital of Texas is. And so he could, if he did it right, he could probably get some support. But I don't think he can try to be too liberal or too moderate, because Texas is still, you know, at this point, still a lot of conservatives, and usually votes very strongly on the big elections for the presidential election, the gubernatorial election, some of those things. We've done pretty good about keeping conservatives in office. We'll see what happens, because it's been such a crazy year already. So we'll see what happens.
Well, especially with the Biden administration opening the border so that a bunch of illegal people can float into Texas and vote
Democrat.
Well,
I'm sure that's part of that agenda. That's part of the agenda. But so that's why I say let's balance it out. Bring the Cubans in. They'll vote Republican. But they'll all be down in Florida voting for Governor Ron. Now, speaking of elections and election reform, and don't forget, we talked a bit about the COVID thing. And what a role that played in the last presidential election. It was a huge...
Oh, yeah. Challenge. We have to have mail-in ballots because of COVID. And if you don't believe in mail-in ballots, you're a murderer, we used to hear them say. A murderer!
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, I talked with Ryan the other night. We did a crosstalk. And if you believe that the election was stolen, and I happen to believe that it was crooked, that they stole it, what makes anyone think they won't do it again?
Of course they're going to do it again. And you know what? The liberals will deny things today, and then tomorrow they'll admit it and justify it. 5-10 years from now, they'll say, of course we cheated. Trump was like a Hitler. Wouldn't you have cheated to remove a Hitler? They'll justify it that way. Right now, they're denying that they cheated. But 10 years ago, they were denying that they're socialists. Now they're reveling in that term.
Well, and of course, Hillary, when she was still part of the equation, she said, you have to accept it. Whatever the outcome is, you have to.
Oh, yeah. She was gravely concerned that somebody might not accept the outcome of an election. She didn't accept it for 4 years. And when 4 weeks after the last election, Republicans still weren't accepting it, we were called traitors.
So again, it's the double standard. But I don't see any reason to think they won't do anything they can. in the midterm as well as the next.
They will do anything they want to do because they're getting away with it. There is nothing they can't do. There is nothing they won't do. They will do it, ladies and gentlemen. Mark my words.
Whatever they have to. And so now we're talking about, there's a lot of talk about election reform. And as you know, down in Georgia, there's been a lot of controversy. In fact, here's the thing here. I have given up on professional sports. I gave up on the NBA and the NFL a long time ago, but I was holding out on baseball because I'm a Padre fan. And so they just had their All-Star game, and it was a real conflict for me because the Padres had five players on the National League roster. But I said, I'm not going to watch the game because they moved it from Atlanta, Georgia, because of the election reform that was passed in Georgia. And so at protest, Major League Baseball decided.
Oh, for Pete's sakes.
And so I said, well, I'm not going to watch the All-Star game then.
I had not heard that, but it does not surprise me at all.
Well, here's the thing. The All-Star game had its lowest TV ratings in history. So apparently I wasn't the only one that was ticked off about that. And even just the whole thing, it was such an insult because Henry Aaron passed away this year, the true home run king, one of the greatest ball players of all time. And it would have been in Atlanta where he played the Braves. Well, he wound up in Atlanta because they moved, but another story. But he played with the Milwaukee Braves and Atlanta Braves. And they could have had a great tribute to Henry Aaron, and the hometown crowd could have been involved in that. And I just thought the whole thing was a shame that they did that, that they moved it because of political reasons. Now, in our state here, Texas, my state, we're also trying to get election reform. And so what happened? 51 Democrats, members of the Texas State House, hopped a plane and fled the state so that there wouldn't be a quorum, so they couldn't have a vote. You know, and I said, shame on you. Shame on you people. And, of course, now there's been pictures floating all around the Internet. They're on their plane not wearing their masks. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I got to wear a mask when I get on a plane. How come you guys don't got to? And anyone that says, well, it was a private plane, that rule applies to private planes as well. So, just the double standards. You hypocrites.
Rules for thee and not for me.
Yeah. And it's just a shame that kind of stuff's going on. You got elected to go up there and represent the people. Vote how you're going to vote. But when you're afraid you're going to lose, to leave town, that's cowardice. So I just wanted to get. I have feelings about these things, Bob.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you do. I'm glad somebody's saying something.
I get a little worked up about some of this kind of stuff, but somewhere along the line, something's got to give. We need something, and we've talked about this, and I guess we're going to get our closing time here. I will vote. I will want to hold those people I vote for accountable. I will vote my conscience. I'll try to be educated enough to vote intelligently, but we need something more than election reform to fix this country, and this is a reoccurring theme, but we need something spiritual to take place. We need men and women of faith, people who believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, people who believe in the God of the Bible, need to not just share their views, which is important. They need to not just vote and be vocal, but we need to be on our knees, on our face before God, praying, God, have mercy on us. Woe is us. Like the prophet Isaiah, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. And prophets and characters in the Bible often would pray prayers of confession and repentance on behalf of their nation or their people. And I think we would do well to do that and seek mercy from the Creator, to ask God to intervene, to ask the Spirit of God to move among people and bring correction. That's where social change is going to take place. It has to begin with spiritual change. And I've been saying that now for years, and I'm not ready to recant that. I think that is my only hope for this nation. And that might lead well into next week's show when we talk about who Jesus claims to be and what his views and Paul's views and some of those people's views were about what's going to bring on the end time.
Right, because those at least are promises people can accept and believe in. Okay, my friend, well, I will look forward to this show next week, and we will see you, everybody, next week.
Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.